When I hear Trudeau say he'll talk to us nation to nation, I question if he really means that, and I question if that can occur in this current climate. I'm going to start by talking about some of the issues of this climate that we live in today as Indigenous people, which I think must change in order for all of us to have a legitimate nation-to-nation conversation. It is March 12, 2016, and Indigenous people are not only recovering from the genocide of the past, but the ongoing genocides of today. And I'm going to lay those out for you to start with. The UN Convention Against Genocide, Article 2D, deliberately inflicting on the groups conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. This systemic underfunding of essential services and human needs such as sanitation, safe drinking water, housing that is third world, mold and asbestos infested, fire, ambulance, and medical needs, yearly evacuations of several communities, inability to attain decent amounts of food due to both destruction of traditional lands and water for food and the unbelievably high food prices of the north, which lead to malnourishment. If you think $8 for a head of cauliflower down here is bad, try $107 for a 24 case of bottled water when you live in a community with unsafe drinking water. If you're mad about Flint, think about 10 years and the bottled water is unaffordable. Withholding water, the most needed of all things, is genocide. It's death. They may not have guns to our heads, but it's absolutely killing our people. Add to this point B of Article 2, causing bodily or mental harm to members of the group. Well, if the above hasn't killed you, it's absolutely a mental attack as much as a physical attack. The lack of funding to education, the lack of schools on many First Nations, that is a mental attack. Lack of mental health services, surely a factor in LaBoche earlier this year, along with all the other mental and physical factors. A government that can't open up a mental health office in a community but can open up a liquor store is surely putting a distressed community of survivors in further mental anguish. The new treaty process Harper instated, and that Trudeau continues, where a nation must pay millions in legal fees over decades and extinguish their inherent rights in order to negotiate for their own lands under Canada's conditions, is surely mental anguish. And I see it. I see it in Algonquin friends who are currently in this situation with Junior. And then there's a suicide epidemic that's been going on for decades and has made headlines again in Manitoba. And of course, there's murdered and missing Indigenous women, Starlight Tours, and cabbies in Winnipeg, abusing Indigenous women systemically. Next in Article 2 is Point E, removing the children from one group and placing those children in another group. That's a scoop. Starting in the 60s and known as the 60s scoop, it's continued for 56 years. And now just called the scoop, or the second half referred to as the millennial scoop. I assure you it's an act of genocide, and it's one that continues at the same rate as it did the day I was scooped in the 70s. Locally, the rate of Indigenous children becoming victims of genocide at the hands of Frontenac, Lennox, and Addington Children and Family Services, formerly the CS, is 70% as of 2013. I suggest that we take action against the perpetrators of this genocide. Charge them, send them to The Hague. This is an act of genocide that feeds the next generation's assault, thanks to the Family Law Act, which deems you in need of CS or removal of your children if you've been a victim of the scoop in the first place. Most victims are so traumatized, the majority end up in jail with addictions, severe mental health issues. Those who survive into adulthood sometimes fall to such afflictions when they find their children have become the next prey for this next generation. And if Canada continues to perpetrate these acts of genocide, three of the acts within that, how can they really speak to us nation to nation? How can they really reconcile with us if that's what they continue to do? If Trudeau Jr. wants to talk nation to nation with us, he's going to have to prioritize an immediate end to our genocide. And I don't care if the West is losing cushy jobs, poisoning our lands and water in the tar sands as oil prices drop. They need to end genocide. I don't care if they need legislation written on assisted death. It can happen after we're saved and end the genocide. I don't care about China. I don't care about the TPP. You have to end genocide. I don't care about the next conference, speech, or meeting with another country. He's working on an inquiry. It's not enough. You have to end the genocide. If Canada wants to spout up big words of reconciliation also, then it's time to end the celebrations of genocide also. Words and money won't end it. It's not that easy. You have to act to end it. Then come to us, nation to nation, and ask us under what terms we are willing to help you with what you want from our lands. Then there's the Indian Act, the first written act of apartheid. South Africa came here, met with Canadian politicians to study the Indian Act and other policies created by John A. He used this to create South African apartheid, then pass it on to Israel, who inflicts it on Palestine. So next time, you're proud that Canada eventually spoke words condemning apartheid in South Africa. Remember, they were the key hand in creating it, with policies alive and well today, and that Canada supports Israel in inflicting it on Palestine. Chief Derek Nepinak has been asked by the Chiefs of Manitoba to deconstruct and get rid of the Indian Act. He has done a good job so far of demystifying the lies within the Indian Act that we have come to believe and to fear. Inherent rights and treaties protect our land and our rights, not the Indian Act. He wants to work with Canada to abolish it. I say we need to abolish it and help Canada accept it. To help Canada understand that within the confines of big government, I suggest we Indigenous people write a Canada Act, outlining Canada's responsibilities to us and how they are to interact with us, make requests to us, request to use our land, and what the process shall be. Understanding they have no rights to its resources without our permission. That would be nation to nation. That would be a step towards decolonization. And how would Canada determine who of us is Indigenous with such an act? Simply, by whoever each nation says is part of their nation. And we could determine it however we want, not within the confines of the Indian Act and how Canada says we determine that. Some nations could choose to bring back in those displaced by genocide. Nations could choose to count in whole entire families or allies who stood with them and took risk of jail or their life. We don't need to fear what will happen with that or what will become of us. The old ways of our nations would take care of this, each in our own way. We don't need to do it all the same. We're individual nations who can work together. And why stop there? Capitalism isn't our way either. We could find that method that marginalizes each of us, which always leads to colonization, and we could get rid of it within our territories. We could say we end it on unceded lands. We could charge occupation taxes on unceded lands to government buildings within them. And we don't need to act. We just need to start acting. No one can request freedom. It must be taken, and we need to dream big. Our brothers and sisters in Peru didn't ask. They spent the last 5 years working it all out together. Then they declared themselves independent and their people dual citizenship. Their example is amazing. They still have a fight on their hands, as Peru has yet to fully grasp and accept it, but they are free. And we could choose to be free. We don't need to ask for it. I'm tired of my people surviving. I'm tired of surviving, and I want to flourish, to rise up, and show you our hearts are not on the ground, that we are strong, proud, and we are free. I think two of the main concepts we need to change is within ourselves. We need to realize we just have to take freedom. We need to be careful not to recreate colonization, to understand how we are vulnerable to it as its victims and what created it. for that's what we've done in all our national organizations, and that's why they fail our people over and over again. Let's not repeat it. We need to learn from those, including allies, who understand how to avoid it. We need not to be afraid to listen to allies who might have opinions to help us. Canada must end genocide and accept an end to the privileges of colonization. Canada needs to accept that these privileges will need to be sacrificed, and the celebration of genocide is insulting and unacceptable. So let's talk nation to nation and not oppressor to the oppressed. And I highly recommend Junior get started before the most desperate of us decide for him. 3 years ago, I heard one of our fellow speakers here, Bob Lovelace, speak at a Palestinian rights showing of a movie. And he warned that the day was coming, if things didn't change, when our young people would be so fed up and so desperate, they'd take arms up against those they felt were oppressing them, possibly malls or schools. And now we have seen the first taste of youth who can no longer live in third world conditions of apartheid. Our young people are so distressed, they're moving from taking their own lives to the lives of others. Lalage was a fly-in community. If the next one isn't, then you'd better hope this road doesn't lead to your schools or mall. And the genocide before more children take up arms in their last-ditch hope to live. For why survive if you just have to suffer the same thing that broke you? I don't have the answer as to how we'll function nation to nation in a talk with the state of Canada. I just know that it can't truly happen while all these other issues are going on.